5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Back when I was a kid, I remember spending a lot of time alone. My dad was some sort of consultant for an oil firm, always traveling the world. As such, he spent little time at home, creating a distant rift between us. My mom was more present, but even she had to spend several days and nights away, leaving me to my own devices. Though I always insisted that I was old enough to survive on my own, my parents forced a local babysitter on me. For most of my childhood, it would be a local kid by the name of Jamie that watched over me. He was one of the cooler kids around the neighborhood, 18 years of age. He was great at putting up a proper, rule-following front, but as soon as my parents had left, he let me play games and watch television as much as I wanted. Alas, our time together would come to an abrupt end shortly after my 12th birthday. My mother was just about to head to work, leaving us with a final order to keep the house clean. "Don't worry, Mrs. Woodcomb. I'll take good care of him," Jamie let out with a smile. She would be home just before midnight, leaving us an ample amount of time to play video games and mess around. No sooner had her car vanished from sight than I turned to Jamie with a mischievous smile on my face.
"FIFA?"
was all I had to ask.
"You know it, kid,"
he responded as we both raced towards the television. We pulled out a couple of controllers and turned the console on, and after a bit of half-serious arguing about who'd play which team, the game commenced. Jamie would let me win most games, a fact I only learned years later, though at the time it made me feel like such a stud. Hours passed as we sat in front of the console, and as the afternoon rolled around, the sun shone in through the western window. It was an annoying setup that made playing a hassle, mostly due to the lack of curtains. Still, it wasn't enough to deter us. But then, as quickly as the sun had appeared, a shadow took its place. A couple of loud knocks startled us to attention. We turned towards the window in confusion, worried that my mom had come home early and caught us playing games all day. Instead, we were met by a tall, lanky man standing outside. Just the mere sight of him awakened an instinctive feeling of fear within me, with his pale, emotionless face and unblinking eyes. He didn't even seem to acknowledge us. He just stared at the television, fixated on the game. Even his odd and frightening appearance wasn't enough to faze Jamie, who ran up to the window and confronted him.
"What the hell are you doing?"
Jamie asked. He just ignored Jamie, still focused on the pause game.
"Hey, weirdo, what do you want?"
Jamie pressed on.
"I play too," he asked. "I good."
He spoke in broken sentences, clearly missing a few screws up there. But Jamie's initial hostility didn't seem to deter him.
"I want play. Let me in," he demanded.
It was hard to tell the guy's age, but he clearly was an adult, despite being twice Jamie's size. Despite several warnings, the guy refused to move away.
"Come on, let's just go," Jamie said as he turned the console off.
We headed to the kitchen to hide as Jamie called my mom. He started to explain the situation as he peeked back into the living room,
but by the time he got around to mention the guy, he was gone. "Jamie, what's wrong?" I could hear my mom ask on the other end. Sorry, it was nothing," Jamie said. We ate some microwave pizza as we tried to forget the strange guy. We weren't about to let one oddity ruin our day. Once we felt safe and stuffed full of greasy food, we decided to go out to the backyard and play some actual football. "Let me see if you can handle the real deal," Jamie joked. I practiced some free shots as Jamie took the role of a goalie. I showed off some trick shots I'd been practicing for weeks. It was pretty basic stuff, but I wanted to impress Jamie. He played along, always encouraging me to keep going. "All right, show me what you got," Jamie called from the goal. I shot the ball up, bounced it off my chest before shooting it into the goal. He didn't even stand a chance. I ran around the yard cheering as Jamie laughed, but our celebrations would be short-lived as an all-too-familiar creepy voice could be heard from over the fence. "I can also," it said. It was that same man, staring us down from the other side. He appeared just as emotionless as before, with unblinking eyes that silently observed us. "I can trick." "What the hell? I told you to get the hell out of here," Jamie yelled. The man didn't even seem fazed. He just kept staring at the ball. "Let me," he just said. "No, bro, please leave," Jamie yelled. "If you don't leave, I'll call the police." But it was no use. The man just stood there. Not wishing to fight him, we retreated inside to call my mom. It rang for well over a minute before she finally answered, surprised and worried that we'd elected to contact her twice in one day. "Jamie, is everything all right?" she asked with worry in her voice. "There's a strange guy here refusing to leave. I think he's sick. Should I call the police?" "Did he try to get inside?" Mom asked. "Nah, he's just staring," Jamie explained. "Just make sure the doors are locked. Don't talk to him. I'll be home in a couple of hours." We hid inside my room on the second floor, away from the window. Neither of us wanted to admit just how creeped out we were, but we weren't exactly playing around either. Midnight quickly rolled around, and as the clock struck 12, we were jolted back to attention to the sound of the door shooting open. "Fuck!" Jamie let out as he rushed to my bedroom door, shutting it close and putting a chair in front of it. "Is it him?" I asked in a panic. "Stay quiet," he ordered back. We basically held our breaths as we waited. Steps could be heard coming up the stairs. A knock appeared on the door, causing my heart to beat out of my chest. "Tommy? Jamie?" a voice called out. As I recognized my mom's voice, a wave of relief washed over me. I rushed out and embraced her in a hug, much to her surprise. The police were called, but due to the lack of an imminent threat, they only gave us a half-hearted promise to look into it. Jamie got paid extra for taking care of me and headed home. I wish that was the end of it, and I wouldn't have to tell you this story, but the worst was soon to come. That night, I went to bed feeling safe under my covers. I fell asleep, exhausted, finally protected by my mother. As a 12-year-old, there was no better feeling. Alas, sleep would not last long. Just around 3 in the morning, I was jolted awake to the sound of a loud thud. At first, I didn't understand what I had heard, but then the sound repeated, clearly originating from outside. I wondered if one of the neighbor's cats had got stuck in the trash can again, but there was no rattle, just repeated thuds. On the third thud, I realized the sound was coming directly from our backyard. I slowly got out of my bed, picked a flashlight out from my drawer, and headed for the window with great trepidation. My hands trembled as I pulled the curtain apart and peeked into the dark yard below. A large silhouette appeared to be playing with a ball,
attempting and failing to perform tricks. Each kick created one of those thuds that had awoken me. I turned the flashlight on and shone the light at the figure. But before I could even figure out what I was seeing, its haunting voice sent shivers down my spine. "See, I play good too," the figure said. It was the same man from before. He picked the oddly shaped ball up and gave me a crooked smile. "Play," was all he asked. That's when I noticed the blood covering his clothes, soaking wet. There was also blood covering his mouth as he stared directly into my eyes as I cowered in fear. But what truly sent me into a spiral of utter panic was the ball he was holding. It was the mangled remains of Jamie's head. "Come play with me," the man repeated as he laid a terrible, sinister grin towards me. Almost as if he was mocking me to see the sickening sight of my friend. He then took a bite from Jamie's head and started chewing his flesh like a sick maniac and said, Come play with me. "Come play with me, you piece of shit!" Then he dropped the head and started sprinting towards me while staring at me dead in the eyes. It was at that exact moment that I jumped away from the window and darted towards my mom's bedroom. My prior frozen state was all erased by the shock of adrenaline bursting through my veins. I kept stuttering as I tried to catch my composure to tell her what I saw. She didn't even bother to check the backyard. Because of my shocked state, she immediately went to call the cops. The police were quick to the scene, but the man had already vanished by this time. All that remained was Jamie's head, forever locked in an expression of pure terror. His body was found a few hours later, poorly hidden in the woods. According to the police reports, his head was ripped straight off his neck, his spine torn to shreds. He didn't make it home that night. I still wonder what the reason was for that guy's actions. I seriously doubt he was a crazy person because of the way he looked deep into my eyes that night, as if he knew exactly what he was doing. I am still scared to this day that he is still out there. Only God knows what he's doing now. It's going to take a long time for me to trust another babysitter again. My son Rick is currently 4 years old, and I just hope this terrible memory fades away from his mind with time. My husband and I are both doctors, which is why we stay out a lot. Not having any relatives to rely on for keeping watch on our son, we are destined to hire babysitters for him. I am a surgeon, whereas my husband is a gynecologist. We live in this beautiful house, and our son is our world. A few months back, I put up an advertisement on a popular social media platform looking for a suitable babysitter for my son. My husband was very strict on hiring someone smart and not just any drunk teenager for our son's safety. I agree with him too on this matter, because Rick needs special care. Many girls applied for it, but a particular application stood out among them. A girl named Mandy Lane wrote a pretty impressive bio. She sounded intelligent, rational, and just the right one to put our faith upon. After discussing it with my husband, I called her to our house one day. The appointment was scheduled for 3 p.m., and as the clock struck 3, our doorbell rang. I opened the door and saw Mandy standing on our doorstep. She dressed as she had come for an actual job interview. I liked that she was taking things so seriously. I invited her in. Needless to say, she was brilliant at the interview. She said that she is studying for her college degree, and this babysitting job will give her enough time to focus on her studies without worrying about money. I liked her honesty, and since that day, Mandy became Rick's permanent babysitter. Whenever we needed someone to watch over our son, she was our only choice. Mandy was very organized. She used her tasks with great care and hardly gave us a scope to complain. Slowly, a strong sense of trust built up between us. One day, I came home early from work. As I stepped in, I found the house in complete darkness. It wasn't supposed to be like this. I called out for Mandy, but she too didn't reply. Getting freaked out, I rushed to Rick's room. I opened the door and saw Rick was sleeping in Mandy's lap like a newborn while she sang him a lullaby. Her eyes were wide, and a wicked smile was all over her face as she watched my son sleep. "Mandy, what is going on?" "Shh, you will wake him up." She completely ignored my presence and then placed sleeping Rick on the bed. We came out of his room and she smiled at me as if nothing happened. She then switched on all the house lights and I was stunned to see her perfectly calm behavior. "Why was my son sleeping on your lap? He's not a newborn." "Relax, Mrs. Claire. He's just a kid. He fell asleep while listening to stories and I didn't want to wake him." No matter how weird it felt to me, there was nothing I could say to Mandy. When my husband came home and I explained the incident to him, he too took it quite lightly. But since that day, a lot of things have started to take a weird turn. I was cleaning Rick's room when I found a photograph under his pillow. My husband and I were sitting on the couch holding Rick on our lap when he was a year old. Everything was normal in the photo, except my face. My face was replaced with Mandy's face, which she took from her picture and pasted over mine. A shriek of anger reverberated in my ears, seeing her audacity. I didn't tell my husband about it. I burnt the photograph and kept this incident to myself. Within the next few days, I kept finding things in Rick's room that didn't belong to us. There was a set of new coloring books, toys, and even a honeybee sweater that I don't remember buying for my son. I slowly realized that Mandy was obsessed with my child. Not because she was gifting things, but because she gave them to my son without asking my permission. I took a week off of work and decided to look after my son on my own. 3 days went without trouble, but on the fourth day, around 2 a.m., our doorbell started to buzz like crazy. "Who could it be at this hour?" "I'll go check." My husband went down to check, and everything went silent after that. Minutes went by, but there was no sign of him. I got scared and came down to see a horrible sight. My husband was lying unconscious on the floor. His head was bleeding severely. Someone had hit him with a blunt object, which made him pass out immediately. "Jack! Jack, are you all right?" "Rick. Check on Rick." Saying this, he again fainted. I ran to my son's room and saw Mandy grabbing Rick in her arms. "Mandy, how dare you touch my son? You freak! Let him go, or I'm calling the cops." "Your son? I'm the only one who's there for him, and now all of a sudden, he's your son? What did you think? That you were going to take him away from me? He is mine." "Mandy, calm down. Let's just talk it out like adults. Just let Rick go. You're scaring him." Rick started crying, seeing all this crazy behavior from Mandy. But Mandy was entirely out of her mind. What she did next made my skin crawl in terror. She took out a knife from her pocket and held it at Rick's neck. "Get out of my way or I'll kill him." "No, Mandy, you won't hurt him. You said you love him. It doesn't have to be this way. Look, you're scaring him. Move away from the door or I'll kill him." I moved out of the door and watched Mandy take Rick away while he cried terribly in fear. He raised his arms at me screaming, but I couldn't do anything. I feared Mandy would hurt him if I intervened now, but I wasn't going to let her leave this house. As soon as Mandy walked to the stairs and put Rick down to walk away, I jumped and pulled my son away from her. Before she could contemplate on this, I pushed her down the stairs with all my strength. Mandy let out one last scream, and her neck broke like a twig hitting the edge of the stairs. Then her senseless body rolled down to the living room. My husband got up, holding his bleeding head, and I realized what a massacre I had done. We are doctors, so it didn't take a second for us to understand that this girl wasn't going to make it. She coughed some blood, and then her trembling body went lifeless. We called the cops and explained the entire situation. An investigation took place, and the cops dug out some dirt on Mandy's life. It came to be known that her family abandoned her because of her psychopathic tendencies. She stayed in an asylum all her teen life, and then she ran away one day. The people of the asylum searched for her for a few days, but then gave up. She wasn't studying for college or anything. She lived in a trailer. Everything she owned was either stolen or picked up from the dumpster. She pretended to be a babysitter to get a hold of my family. The cops also think she followed us for a certain period before actually coming to our house. I'm pretty sure she wanted to take my place. But no matter how crazy she was, I still can't help but feel bad for her. She was a product of bad parenting, and that's why she turned out to be like this. But when I think about it, it just strikes me that all she wanted was a family, and nothing more.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Menards 11% rebate is here. From lighting to lumber, from doors to floors, the bigger the project, the bigger the rebate. From painting projects to that new kitchen makeover and designing that outdoor space of your dreams, save big on any project you're tackling. Hurry into Menards for an 11% rebate on everything. Mail-in rebate is a merchandise credit check, not a point-of-sale discount. Redeemable on future in-store purchases only. Not on future purchases on Menards.com. See store for details.
Save big money at
Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.